look at somebody and right next to you and say, be bold, be bold, be bold. But I want to speak about boldness in the way, in the context of how to use that in your witness. Everybody here has a story. That's what I can tell you about everybody here. There's a story. There's a story of your journey, of how you got to where you're at right now. And I'm not just talking about in life. We're talking about our spiritual lives. Y'all have a story. Some of them are remarkable. I know some of them. And they're remarkable stories. Some of you shouldn't be here. Probably wouldn't be here if it was not for the amazing grace of a story that God orchestrated in your life. And whether you believe it or not, or maybe even know it or not, it is actually a very powerful thing that God wants you to use on a regular basis. And the reason why I want to teach this a little bit is because I believe God is just really strategic. Does anybody else believe that? That he is, thank you, Sister Rose. The rest of you are not convinced. He is really strategic. And yes, his grace is for whosoever will. But I also know that God gets really excited about who he saves because where they're at. And some of you are in strategic places, I believe, in the kingdom. And you have access and you have influence. And you have abilities, and you have contacts that God wants to he wants to get to through you. And so, so I'm convinced tonight that if part of my job, I think, is to motivate, to encourage people to be the mouthpiece that God wants you to be. Now, for all of you introverts that are getting nervous, it's okay. Just take it easy. All right. I want you to know that God is going to help you because here's what I believe. Boldness is for, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but this boldness I'm talking about is, it is not dependent on personality type. I want to talk to you about a spiritual thing I believe that happens to a person that effectively shares, yes, the gospel, but the gospel in the context of how it came into their life. That is a very supernatural, spiritual thing that can happen. Okay? Does that make sense? Make sense? And so we're going to start in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Read along with me. How many brought your Bibles to Bible study? Raise your Bible, your device, your whatever. All right, good. Phil, bring your Bible next time. All right? Oh, you weren't obedient, so I just... Okay, good. I'm glad you got your Bible. All right. As you can tell, I'm feeling my oats tonight. Who knows what I'm going to say? Is this online? We probably ought to take this offline, I think. All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, when they saw the what?
Boldness.
Say it real loud.
Boldness.
The boldness. You got to say boldness with boldness. You can't say boldness with meekness. You got to say the boldness with boldness. All right. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, what did it tell about them? They perceived that they were... They said they were uneducated, untrained men. They knew that about them. And they marveled. Why were they so amazed at these untrained, uneducated men? Why? What's the next part of it say? Why? Because they knew they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. So they got two things going for them. First of all, there's a supernatural power on them that is beyond their education and beyond their training. The third thing is there's a miracle that is the fruit of that supernatural power in their life that is absolutely befuddling the people that are standing in front of them. But when they had commanded them to go aside of the council, they conferred among themselves, these religious leaders, and they said, "What should we do to these men? For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it." Isn't that awesome? Listen, let me tell you what you got going for you. People cannot deny the power of God in your life.
Right.
Amen? Amen. When logic fails, when arguments are not enough, the Holy Ghost is. Amen. So that's just a side note. So he said, what shall we do to these men? But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them. Ooh. That from now on, they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and they commanded them not to speak, nor at all to teach in the name of Jesus. But I love this. Listen. Now, what would you do? Don't think about it. Don't answer. But if we just had a fire marshal walk in here, it kind of scared me for a minute. You know, I'm like, why is a fire marshal here on Wednesday night? It's all good. They just want to like use our facility to test their hoses, so it's fine. But what if a government official, a policeman, walked in here and said, okay, listen, you with the mic, shut that off. You can't preach in that name anymore. All you people, you can't meet together. I wonder what we would do. I wonder what we would do. I mean, I'm not picking here, all right? I'm not picking. But Brother Bruce, 3 years ago, we go to Bruce's house. He got a big backyard. We go to Bruce's house. But 3 years ago, we kind of shut up. We kind of shut down. That's not a statement. I'm just saying, and it was for good reason. Don't anybody get mad at me or anything like that. I'm just saying, a government, you know, what would happen if it wasn't because of a health issue, or if it wasn't because, you know, that's happening in some countries, don't you? You know, okay? We've got freedom here. Thank God. Somebody say praise the Lord. But what would happen? But can you imagine? So I say all that only to say, what? Can you imagine the boldness that is in it? But Peter and John said to them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. And then listen to this statement. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and we have heard. We can't do anything but say and share what we've seen and what we heard. Amen. Now, here's what I think. I think today in our culture that Satan has loosed a spirit of intimidation. Intimidation in not just definitely against the church, but just in culture in general, to intimidate people from telling the truth. I don't know if you've noticed or not. Tell me if you think this is true. Anything close to godly or morals or truth is being attacked. One way or another, it's being attacked. I was sharing with someone, we were talking about a specific issue that was going on. And I said, man, I just never would have dreamt in a million years. It is almost, you know, the prophet is like he knew what he was prophesying. They're calling right wrong and wrong right. Calling black white and white black. And so we're in a time where truth is being intimidated socially, politically, spiritually. And here's what I believe is the reason. Because Satan cannot beat, he cannot answer, nor can he stop God's work. Amen? Anybody agree that with me? He is just outmatched, okay? There's no opposite to God. He is outmatched. So what does he do? He works on the next best thing. And here's what I believe. I believe it is the agenda of Satan to shut the mouths of the people of God. That's you. That if he had his way, Brad, he would say that Brad Ross would never share any part of his faith or anything that God has done in his life with anyone around him. And that would go for you and everybody at your table and everybody else here and anybody else that would call the name of the Lord and see the work of God in their life. That's what he'd like to do because it's the best thing he can do. But see, there's these scriptures that kind of get in his way, like Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power. When? Come on. After what? The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then what's going to happen? My witnesses. You'll be a witness to me. And then he kind of gives us the, you know, the rings of influence in Jerusalem, local, in Judea, regional, to the ends of the earth, globally. You'll be my witness over this entire earth. Now, here's the thing. It is easy to lack confidence in your own abilities to communicate. Amen? Anybody else? That's easy. That's easy to lack confidence in your own abilities. Because, like, let me just give it, there's some Wednesdays and Sundays where I'm like, man, I got it. I got a word. I got it. And then there's other times where I'm like, God, you better get it. There's a few snickers. Okay. It's easy to lack confidence in your own abilities to communicate. Because you ask yourself this, well, what if I say the wrong thing? What if I offend somebody? What? Oh, here's one. Brother Bruce, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? Or I don't know the answer to? Or you'll say stuff like, well, I never know what to say. But here's what you can never forget. You have the power of the Holy Ghost trying to operate in you, trying to direct you. And it's like Jesus told his disciples, he said, Don't worry about what you're gonna say. The Holy Ghost is gonna give you the words to say when you need to say them. I believe that a huge part of witnessing to other people about faith in Christ and providing all those answers and dealing with all those arguments and all that, a large part of God's not asking you to be the source for a successful interchange between someone who does not believe. He's not asking Brother Dave to say, look, I need you to muster up the intellect. I need you to really get the resources together. And I'm not trying to say you don't have to study or anything like that. Please don't get me wrong. But what I'm trying to say is that if someone is led to Christ, it's because Jesus is involved. Otherwise, you know, maybe at the best, if you're really good at it, you're just a good college professor. You just got good arguments. And there's people like that, right? But what I'm going to try to tell you is that everybody in this room that has the power of the Holy Ghost in their life has the ability to have boldness to witness for Him and to say words in a way that could change people's life because of the Holy Ghost that's in them. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Boldness, I should have just said this a long time ago. Boldness is something God gives you. Okay? Boldness is something that God gives you. So if you're sitting there saying, I wish I could just muster up some boldness. I wish I could get some boldness. I wish I could learn how to have it. Now listen, this is something that God gives you. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They've been threatened. Don't talk about Jesus. Okay? Threatened by people that had the authority and the ability to stop them. So what do? They get in a prayer closet. They get together in a good old-fashioned prayer meeting at Bruce Miller's house. Okay? And they say, Lord, look on their threats. You take care of the threats. But watch their prayer here. And grant. Everybody say grant. Okay, that's to give authority, right? Grant, give authority to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word. They prayed for boldness by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Listen to this. This is truth. Write it down. If you're not taking notes, put it in your mind. When we pray, I believe this. When we pray for boldness, God answers, He hears, and He answers that prayer. That when you pray for boldness to do His work, to speak His word, to share your faith, and let's just call it His faith, the faith of Him and in Him, that He hears and He answers those prayers. When we share our story, His story, when we speak His word with boldness, He will stretch forth his hand. He'll answer our prayer and respond to our Holy Ghost empowered witness with signs and wonders in his name. Does anybody else believe that? Okay. Now we have precedent here to believe that and believe that way, because that's exactly what happened. Because the Bible says that when they had prayed, what happened? Anybody know? Say it again, Sister Jill. They were shaken. The place was shaken, right? Where they were assembled together was shaken. And what else happened? Woo! Hallelujah. Phil, they got another dose, buddy. They got another dose of Holy Ghost. They must have been low or something. I don't know. But they need a little bit more Holy Ghost, because the Bible said, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, they were already believers, but they just had a good old-fashioned altar service there. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke. Then what happened at the end of all that? They what? They spoke the word. Come on, say it with me. They spoke the word of God with what?
Boldness.
There were some changed people. They prayed for boldness. They were shaken. They were filled. And they spoke with boldness. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any things it possessed was his own, but they all had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That sounds like something we should shoot for. Amen? Everybody say boldness. So this is why personality does not dictate results when it comes to our witness. Now, I could talk to a wall. I'll just be honest with you, all right? I could talk to just about anybody. Though, I'll tell you a funny story. We were pulling out of our driveway, and we just planted some flowers, and they're really cool flowers. They open up, like, during the day. I still haven't figured out why they do this or when they do it, but they open up, and they're really full and everything, and then at night, they close up. I don't know what they are. She bought them, but they're really cool. And so we were pulling out of our driveway, and this couple had walked by, let them go by. And as I was pulling out, they stop and they start looking at these flowers. And I said, oh, they're interested in my flowers. And so I went to put the window down on her side, and she said, put it up. I said, what? She said, don't talk to, you're not just going to talk to those people about those. She knew exactly what I was going to do. Brother Bruce, I could talk to a total stranger about flowers that they're looking at. I could. Okay? That's just my personality. Everybody say personality. Anybody else have a personality like that? All right? Christy, you better. Amen. Amen. I know you could. All right? So there's a few of us. How many of you that it would petrify you to roll down your window and talk to somebody looking at your flowers? Jessica Melder, are you serious?
I would tell Phil the exact same
thing. Phil, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Okay, but there's some of you that would petrify you. Why? Why is that? I'm not picking on either one. I'm not saying either one's why. Linda Willie, why is that? Why? It's real easy. Personalities. Okay? God made us all different, and for lots of different reasons. We have different personalities. But the Holy Ghost works in people that'll talk to folks looking at flowers. And the Holy Ghost works in Jessica Melder, that won't let her husband talk to people that look at flowers. Here's what I'm trying to say. Personality does not dictate results when it comes to our witness. We need the boldness of the Holy Ghost to do his work. And we got to realize that what we're doing is yes, it's if you're teaching a Bible study, yeah, there's information there. There's charts to run through if you're doing that. Or if you're trying to just talk to somebody about God, yes, there's words that got to come out of here. There's logistics that got to happen. But I'm telling you, it's only words and it's only charts if the Holy Ghost is not involved. We need his boldness. Say his boldness. It's done through him, through us. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, they were untrained. They marveled and they realized they had been with Jesus, because being with Jesus makes a difference in the way that you act and how others receive you. Have you ever encountered a stranger who somehow just captured your attention? You just liked them from the very beginning? Anybody? Anybody? There's some of you in this room. I just like to be around you because you just, I mean, I could talk to you just because you talk. I mean, you just, the things you say are interesting to me, all right? I've met people, and I've met other people who are like, okay, I'm done with this conversation. Not in this room. But you know what? You've all met somebody that person just captured your attention. Something about that man or woman made you look again. And perhaps something made you lean in. Has anybody ever leaned in and eavesdropped on somebody that was talking? Ellen has. She's smiling real big up here. Okay? Why is that? Just because when some bold and empowered witnesses, I guess here's what I'm trying to say. A bold and Holy Ghost empowered witness will garner the attention of the lost in this world. Because it's real. Did you hear what I just said? Because it's real. And there is so much fake, and there is so much philosophy, and there is so much intellect and argument out there that is nothing more than that. People don't know what's real. So when they come in contact with what's real, they're like, wait a minute, this is different. That's uneducated. That's unlearned. But I cannot dispute the fact that there is something about them that I want to hear what they are saying. Here's what I'm trying to say. How many, if you've got the Holy Ghost, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've got the Holy Ghost, all right? Raise your hand if you're going to get the Holy Ghost. You're about to get it, all right? That's everybody, all right? Aaron's about to get it. Praise the Lord. Pray for him right now, Rich. Lay your hands on him. All right, now listen. When the Holy Ghost is in our lives, when I say this is real, it's not just our message that is real. What's in us is real. There's something real in you and about you because of the spiritual journey you have made. That makes you unique from a lot of people. Okay? People that maybe even be, that might be smarter than you. People that might be in different stations of life, higher stations of life, lower stations. I mean, it really doesn't matter. It makes you very unique. And it also, to the kingdom, makes you very strategic. So when you become that person, baptized with boldness, empowered by His Spirit, your witness, here's what I'm going to promise you, will be unmistakable and irresistible. Because this is good. Can anybody testify that this is good, what's happened to us? Amen. Now, let me give you a few little warnings here. Boldness is not brash. Boldness is not brash. Brash. Now, this may be more for the extroverts in the room. Rarely are introverts brash people. They can be, but rarely. We can't fall into the trap of confusing Holy Ghost boldness with fleshly brashness. They are very, very different. Boldness is a noun, okay? It's a thing. Boldness is a willingness to take risks and act innovatively, this is Webster here, confidence or courage. Brash is an adjective. It means self-assertiveness in a rude or nosy or overbearing way. Now notice, boldness is a noun. Brash is an adjective. Boldness is something you have. Brashness is a selfish behavior that you act out. Boldness is God-given. Brashness is self-driven. So we are not looking for people to be brash, to be rude, to be overbearing. We're looking for people to be bold, to be led by the Spirit. That word boldness is parrhesia in the Greek, and it means freedom in speaking or license or authority. In this case, it's a spiritual authority, a spiritual confidence, a spiritual assurance, and openness and frankness that comes from the work of the Spirit in your life. An important first prayer of a Holy Ghost-filled witness is a prayer for wisdom. Somebody say amen. Anybody ever prayed for wisdom before you talked to somebody? Anybody failed to do that and it went sour on you? Come on, now raise your hand. Amen. I'm with you. It's done. I'm like, Lord, oh, I should have prayed. I should have prayed before I opened my mouth, okay? The when, the what, and the how of your witness are very important. Timing is everything. The what, knowing the words to say and the person that you're dealing with. And then how to say those words. I love the scripture, known it since a kid, a word fitly spoken. It's like apples, it's valuable, like apples of gold and frames of silver. So you've got to know the when, the what, and the how. So an important prayer for a witness, Holy Ghost witness, is wisdom. What did James say? If any of you lack it, let him ask of God, wonderful promise, who gives to all, I love this part, liberally. So it's not like God's like, okay, Phil, I'm only going to give you a little bit or enough. He said, I'll give you more than enough, liberally, and without reproach, and it will be given to him. You link that prayer with the promise of Ecclesiastes 8:1. Here's what it says. And who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. So wisdom and boldness make you attractive to those who need Jesus, especially those that are looking. So we want boldness, not brashness. Now, boldness comes easier when you realize, get this tonight, your story is worth telling. Amen? I want you to look at somebody at your table. Look at the one that you think needs it the most, all right? And tell them, say, your story, Brad, come on, have fun with it, Brad. Your story is worth telling. Come on, your story is worth telling. Stories are powerful. Has anybody ever noticed I use stories when I preach? Why is that? Because I need more content? No, y'all'd be happier if I preached less and shorter, right? It's not because I need more content. It's because stories are powerful. Jesus thought stories were powerful, right? He taught in parables. Because when you tell a story, it's a way that people can relate. Everyone has one, and yours is worth telling. Think about the woman at the well. She left her water pot, went away in the city, and said to the men, come see a man who told me all the things that I ever did. Could this not be the Christ? She just went and told her story. And many of the Samaritans in the 39th verse of that chapter of that city believed in him because the word of the woman who testified. That's a powerful scripture right there. That the city, people in the city who probably knew her, and I'm not going to take time to go through that whole story in John 4. Go read it. She probably wasn't the purest of women. She had been married several times. She was shacking up with her current boyfriend, all right? And probably most likely, at least some, if not all, the people in the city knew it. But when she went and said, come see a man, the Bible is careful to tell us that the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the what? The word of the woman who did what? She testified. The word of the woman who laid out the doctrinal foundation. No. The word of the woman who expressed and explained to them that Jesus was Messiah. That they went, no. In fact, the best thing that she could say, Brother Bruce, is, could this be? Right? I don't even know if she was that convinced. All she said is, all I know is this guy told me everything that I ever did. And the Bible said they believed because she testified. She testified. The power of her story made it easy to be bold about. When it's happened to you, it makes a difference. I love preaching about what God does in people's lives. And I love telling those stories. And yeah, those stories get people excited. But do you know who can really tell that story? The person that it happened to. Amen? Because you know what? You can get a good orator and maybe they can use all the key words and maybe they can use all the right tone inflections and all those things. But there is nothing more exciting and there is nothing more moving than someone sometimes in their own broken, messed up way telling their own story. Why? Because it's theirs. And it makes a difference. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him and he stayed there 2 days and many more. Everybody say many more. Believe because of Jesus' word. So this is what this tells me. When I testify, it'll win some. And those some can, when Jesus gets involved, maybe many more. How much influence, I guess is what I'm trying to say, did this woman enforce or invoke in her life by telling one story? Entire city and then many more. Because once you get Jesus involved, of course, things get better. So your story will make others want to know his story. Here's why your story is worth telling. Number one, your story is powerful because it is 21st century. This isn't a story of somebody that happened 50 years ago. We're facing an epidemic of faithlessness. We got statistics. I've read statistics like 30% of churchgoers say they go to church and they feel no presence of God. Isn't that sad? I mean, they don't go here. More than 2 million people have left the American church in the last 7 to 10 years. And now, you know, it used to be, I think in the, I'm trying to remember my numbers here, it was in the early 50s that 90% of America called themselves Christian. You can argue about what kind they were and all that kind of stuff, but 90% of America in the 1950s called themselves Christian. You know what it's down to? 64%. And I would argue it's probably even lower than that. 64%, let's say, were Christians. And 23% of the American public, and this is kind of an old statistic, I think it's higher now, 23% of the American adult population is now, their religious affiliation is none. I have none. And it is the second largest religious group in the U.S. after evangelicals. We are in a spiritual epidemic. It is a famine of the word of God. 58% of Americans say, I have little to no confidence in religion. Why is that? Because there's been just people and leaders full of fake stories that were one thing, but they found out actually it was something else. Or there was never anything to it. Or it was all the smoke and the mirrors and the lights and the sound. And when it came to real change, there was nothing there. You know what I think? I think our world is desperate for a real story. Desperate. And they'll go anywhere to find it. Doesn't matter how big the place is, how small the place is. If I can find something real, then I'll give my attention to that. It illustrates the reality of God's power, that it is still working. So your story, it is very important because it's 21st century, and in this epidemic of a famine of the word of God, it flies in the face of everything the devil's trying to do. Number two, your story is powerful because it's undisputable. Man, the Lord saved me. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. It's your story. Do you know what you're an expert in? Anybody? You've heard me say this, right? You. You are the expert of you. If you don't know beans about anything else in life, you know you. You're an expert in it, and it can't be denied. Peter and John answered them and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen to you more than a judge, or more than God, you can judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm sorry, you can't deny it. You can't dispute it. I saw it, I heard it, so I'm going to tell it. It happened to me. I am who I am, so I'm going to share it. Number three, your story is powerful because it simplifies what at times can be hard to digest. Has anybody ever noticed Satan has made sure that God is as complicated to people as possible? Anybody notice that? Has anybody noticed that Satan has been very careful to supply an endless supply of preconceived notions about God? And about his church, about truth, about living for him, about his existence. He's made sure that there's all kinds of thoughts and arguments. I read a quote one time that said, the more simple and predictable communication is, the easier it is for the brain to process, okay? That's across the board. Well, here's what it says. And seeing the man who had been healed, Acts 4 and 14, standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Now, wait a minute. He couldn't be the Christ. This couldn't be real. But the guy is standing there. They had passed him by. They probably flipped him a few coins in front. They had healed that man at the gate beautiful. Anybody remember that story? Okay, lame man. They could not deny. Everybody knew this guy. It became very simple. It's either we deny it and we're not, you know, in touch with reality, or we've got to believe that a miracle, in fact, their own words, a notable miracle has been done here. It's hard to argue with a difference, isn't it? Anybody ever notice a difference when God comes in our life? Anybody, when God made the difference in your life and had somebody in some form or some way said something like this to you, what happened to you? And it wasn't just because of clothes or something like that. They could tell you were not the same person. I don't mean to pick on you at all, but Kyle, you are not the same person. I know part of your testimony, and I know people that had to know you before would meet you now and say, that is not the same guy. And not because his clothes are different or he's doing his hair different or because they notice he's going to church, but because there was a lot of darkness in that man's life. And God put a whole lot of light. And it's hard to argue with a difference. Like the blind man. You know, they're saying, come on. You tell us. You give God the glory. Not that you, he said, look, whether he's from God or not, here's what I know, the blind man. Remember that story? He said, I don't know whether, you know, about all your arguments, but here's what I can tell you. I couldn't see before, and I can see now. See, when it's simple, it's clear. Okay? I don't know what to tell you about all your preconceived notions. I don't know what to tell you about all your church hurt. I don't know what to tell you about all your past experiences, all right? But here's the thing. I used to be able to blind, unhappy, unfulfilled, and lost. And now I am filled with the power of the Spirit. I got light versus darkness. You be the judge. Once was blind, but now I see. Now, boldness does have some enemies. There are some specific enemies of boldness that we have to watch out for. Number one, unbelief is an enemy of boldness. We must believe that God can. Do you believe that? Okay? You need to write amen down, maybe. Help yourself out. You believe that God can use me. Not us. I'm not speaking generally. You need to write that out. God can use me as his witness. And we must believe that when we do witness for him, okay, when we do share our faith in small ways or big ways, that he will act, that it's not fruitless, it's not useless, seeds planted, people changed, that God will act if we'll act for him. So unbelief is an enemy of boldness. We got to just sweep that out. Busyness. Everybody say busy. Anybody busy this week? I've been busy this week. I could take a nap right now. No joke. I could lay down on this podium. My wife got in the car this morning, and I had my head on the... I'm pitiful tonight. I know. But I had my head on the steering wheel. I'm like, all right, you're here. Let's go. I'm tired. Anybody tired? I've been busy. Anybody else busy? Brad, you been busy? Yeah. Isaac, I'm glad you're here tonight. Good to see you, buddy. You been busy? Yeah. Is anybody not, honestly? And if it's okay, some of you retired people, maybe you're not. I don't know. Anybody not been busy? Raise your hand. Anybody? Eric's like, nah, I really haven't been doing anything. Okay, the truth of the matter is, in one context or another, we're all busy. And busyness is an enemy of boldness. A busy person is often a distracted person. Busyness can move your focus away from your call to witness. Busyness can make you unaware of those around you. Anybody been walking through a store and you're just trying to get what you're going to get and the Holy Ghost knocks on your door and say, those are people around you. Just me? Smile. You're the face of Christ. Oh, yeah, that's right. Be happy. Church name's on your shirt. Busyness. Not because we're unhappy, busyness. It can make you unaware. So we got to fight against that. It can be an enemy of boldness. Laziness. Uh-oh. Now we're going to get into it. Too many of us simply do not want to win this because we don't want to be bothered. It can be uncomfortable. And for this, we must repent. Because being a witness, being wise enough to win a soul, will cost some time and some energy, but it will be well worth it. I need somebody that's done it to say amen. It will be well worth it. You don't even, I'm telling you, you talk about fulfillment. You let that person go down in Jesus' name that you've been teaching a Bible study to, or you've been talking to them, you've been trying to, you know, witness to them and tell them about the Lord. You let that person go down in Jesus' name, or just even pray for the first time at an altar, you'll feel like $1 million. Okay? So laziness. Got to fight against it. Sin. Sin is the enemy of boldness. I understand. I just can't get boldness if you got sin in your life. You got to repent. Sin will eliminate our boldness of our spirit. It can obliterate our witness. There has been testimonies that have been, I don't want to say nullified, but they've definitely been damaged by people who would not let that same power of the Holy Ghost conquer the sin in their life. Allow sin to be dormant. And just those two aren't going to mix. God's not going to live in that unholy house. Amen? Man, we got to let the Holy Ghost deal with those things and repent of those things and wipe them away. So sin is an enemy of boldness. Lack of skill can be an enemy of boldness. The power of your witness. And here's what I say. You say, well, wait a minute. Now, you're working against yourself. You just told everybody they could do it with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, but let me also tell you this. You get better at anything that you do more than once. Amen, Brother Melder? You know the worst Bible study I ever taught, Brother Melder? You know what? Forget about me. You know the worst Bible study you ever taught? It's your first one, wasn't it? Is that first one? Was it pitiful? Go ahead, say yes. It's kind of pitiful. And this guy's an expert. This guy's taught thousands of Bible studies. Do you know how he got to be an expert, Brother Dave? After that pitiful one, he said, I'm going to do it again. We're going to get Bible study number two. He's bugging me. I told him, I said, hey, I'm doing this Bible study. He knows how busy I am this week. And he said, did you get that Bible study number two in with her? I said, yes, I did, Brother Bruce. I'm teasing, Brother Bruce. Thank you for doing that. I love you. Okay, so lack of skill can be, the power of your witness is multiplied each time it is used. It's like muscles in our God-created bodies. A lack of use will diminish the effectiveness of your witness. If practice makes perfect in the arena of piano lessons and the myriad of sports, then the principle is also true for witnessing. The more you do it, the more you share your story, the more comfortable you become sharing it, the more effective you become at telling it. Lack of knowledge is also can be an enemy of boldness. The power of your witness is linked to your knowledge of his word. Now, the Holy Ghost is going to help you, but you still got to get in that word. Somebody say amen. But telling your own story, you need to have at least a basic functioning and working knowledge of his story. And you do, or you wouldn't have obeyed it. And so you've got to work on articulating. It's the story of his word, the gospel. So don't let a lack of knowledge of the word of God silence your witness, but instead let your knowledge of the word be the very thing that brings your witness to life. Amen? So let me summarize tonight. Look at this. I've been 10 minutes early. I'm going to let you out early. Hallelujah. Boldness is God-given. I heard the ripple of excitement. Boldness is God-given. It's a God-given attribute to help a spirit-filled witness. And if we ask for it, God will give it to us. Okay? You're saying, what am I supposed to get out of this? I'm giving it to you right now. Okay? I'm summarizing here. God will give it to us if we ask for it. And we need his wisdom to use it, this boldness. And boldness is bolstered, it's amplified, it's multiplied when we realize our story is worth telling. And every believer's story is powerful because, number one, it's real, it's present tense, it's undisputable, and it's simple for anybody to understand. And when you couple that with the knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of his story, it is an irresistible 1-2 punch that brings literally, even today, thousands of people into the kingdom of God. Amen? Would you pray with me? Father, I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for these witnesses that are here today. Oh, God, there's so much power in this room. I feel it right. I feel you. I feel, oh, God, there is a witness of your spirit that is in this room right now. Father, today, come on, help me pray. We pray for boldness, Lord. We pray for the boldness of Acts 4, boldness to tell your story. God, boldness to open up our mouths. There's a spirit of intimidation that's trying to shut the mouths of this church. And Lord, we will not stand for it. We cannot do anything but tell the wonderful works of God that have been in our life. What we have seen, what we have heard, what we have experienced, Lord. God, this is a powerful story that you're building in my life. And somebody needs it, Lord. Somebody around me. God, you are strategic. You're a God of order. God, you set and you order my steps. And so, Lord, Lord, tomorrow and tonight when I leave this place, you're going to put me in situations, Lord, where my story, Lord, is going to do your work. God, open my mouth, Lord, and let the power of your Spirit, Lord Jesus, work through me. Take every bit of knowledge that I have of your word. Take every bit of authority and give me, Lord Jesus, that unction and that move and that courage and that boldness to do your will. And I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in your people and in me tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. Thank you. And you're welcome. 8:50-something. All right? Praise God. Now you got time to fellowship and shake somebody's hand, love on somebody. God bless you. Go in Jesus' name.